everyone. This is workshop number 2. And most of you know, we're going to be talking today about Healthy Women and the Feminist Lie by our executive pastor, Linda Schreck.
Okay. Thank you for that resounding applause. I appreciate that.
It's going to be a long half hour for you. You're like, I am in the wrong room. I'll close my eyes and you can get up and leave.
So I'll give you a brief overview of who I am. I came to know my Heavenly Father when I was 13 years old. Karen Petfield. Oh, I have to behave now. I heard you praying in tongues in the first session in the sanctuary. Praise the Lord. Right after Esther Terry. All right, so my father unfortunately committed suicide when I was at the age of 13. And that night that I learned that, I laid in my very 1976 orange painted bedroom with an orange and yellow flowered bedspread that I can still see today. And I said this sentence, as far as God is my witness, as I remember it. Okay, God, I don't have a father. You're going to have to be my Heavenly Father. And so that's how my journey started with Jesus. Later that year in September, I went into my high school homeroom and I found John Schreck, my husband now. And so from there we got married after college. And a year and a half later we had our first son, and I was a stay-at-home mom for 14 years. And I thought I would never not see a baby's rear end. But for those of you interested, my second son, Tim, is here, and I haven't seen his rear end in many years. Listen, we can't cry all the time, ladies, right? We gotta laugh. Don't be looking at his rear end. He's married and has 2 children.
I think he's reporting back to his brothers how this went. I don't know.
And so, yeah, we had four boys who are now all adults, of course. And so I was a stay-at-home mom for 14 years, volunteered at every opportunity I could possibly find, and dragged my boys along with me. When our youngest started kindergarten, I went back to work very, very, very part-time at Faith Christian Academy. They're actually one of our sponsors. You can stop by their table in the vendor area as a school secretary, very, very part-time. From there, I was invited to come on staff part-time as a children's ministry director at Faith Assembly of God, now called The Gathering at Faith Assembly. And from there started the credential journey. And on my 45th birthday, right on that day, I received an in-church local credential and have gone all the way through the credentialing. Now I am ordained. And so thank you. And we have shifted to the Mission Church almost 9 years now and have had many positions over at Faith, and here we were just looking for a new church family that we needed at the time, and the rest is history. I've done everything that you have done, I have done in the church, except youth. I could never do youth. Give me a crying 2-year-old. Don't give me a hormonal 15-year-old girl. All right? So if you do youth, my hat's off to you. All right, so let's get, now you have a little bit of an overview. Let's get to cracking here. What does a healthy, godly woman look like in today's culture? So many demands on women. Self-imposed demands. We can be hardest on ourselves, what we should be doing. Family demands. How many of you have aging parents that you are helping care for? I do too, and that is an incredible demand, right? How about we have demands from our spouses, our children, our adult children, extended family. We have demands on us through work, through culture, through church, through comparison. I know none of you compare yourself to other women. Some Christian women do that, though. And what we feel that God demands of us. And what we feel, in quotes, God demands of us can be the most challenging to navigate. If I don't do it, it won't happen. They really need help. How can I say no after all that God has done for me?
We hear an adage sometimes in the church, if you notice something, God is telling you you should be doing that. Now, my husband said many years ago to me that that is not true, because I notice everything. I am not kidding you. I'm noticing that there's still garland in this room. No one else noticed that, right? I would be dead if I did everything that I noticed. So that adage, when they say that, say, okay, but Pastor Linda said, all right.
Let me know how that works with your pastor, though.
So where do you find your identity in today's culture? What label do you wear? If we didn't have what ministry or church you were from on your label, what would you put there as your identity? Our identity cannot be wrapped up in what we do, but in whose we are. You are not what you do, though what you do is extremely valuable for the kingdom. If you pick up a piece of paper today that you see on the floor, that's extremely valuable for the kingdom because it's showing that we care. But we are not what we do. You are who he says you are. And I won't sing that song for you. I'm grateful that we live in a country and a day and age where others have gone before us as women and made strides for what women can do, right? We can vote. We can own property. We can run businesses. Yet we also live in a country and a day and age where it has all run amok with a sense of entitlement. And no one is going to tell me what I can do with my body and what I can't do. Culture tells us men can become women, that women can become men, that biological men can compete in women's sports, that foregoing or giving up a career to focus on family is okay as long as you only use the allotted maternity time the company gives you. Yeah. Don't stay past that, right? And in this day and age, right, they say take a morning after pill. Have an abortion. Don't tell me what I can do with my body. It's my body. We are bombarded with the idea that we should be thinner, prettier, more successful, whatever that means. We should be getting ahead, have a booming social media presence. How many followers you have on social media has become a status symbol. Who do you follow on social media that I should be following? Let me tell you, ladies, we should be following Jesus.
Amen.
We heard that today from our sister Esther, our first love. And I like social media. I scroll and I like and I go, unfollow, you know. But I gotta love and follow Jesus first. Culture tells us there is always something more, something better for you. Don't settle with what you're doing. And perhaps you'd notice that culture dictates what we should do changes more than your hair color changes. Culture says, oh, do this, but then 2 years later, no, you should be doing this. We have to look to what Jesus says we should be doing and who we are in him. My husband and I, we enjoy watching cooking shows on TV. And they introduce the chefs and they do a little bio when they say, this chef has started 12 restaurants. And this chef has started 3 restaurants. And I go, oh, she only started 3 restaurants. That's what culture does to us. Like, it's not enough.
Right.
And we belittle what someone else is doing. Yeah. And that's what culture teaches us. But that's not what Jesus teaches us.
Yeah.
Right? The woman with the mite that put it in the offering. He didn't say, not enough.
Yeah.
But he said, that was more than enough. So I'm thankful that in the assemblies of God, women have always been valued and affirmed with no limitation on our ministry opportunities and positions. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone in Assemblies of God Church is a cheerleader for women. Right? Doesn't always mean that. But alas, wherever you go, there are always going to be knuckleheads. Mission Church, we trace our start to 1950 with Rachel Lee. And Rachel Lee was a circuit rider. She went on horseback around this community doing Bible studies.
Wow.
And we trace our church back to Rachel Lee doing that in 1950. Now, she wasn't in this building, but she went around the community. And so women in ministry can be powerful.
But I also want to admonish you. There's a big push for women to be credentialed in the Assemblies of God, and thank God for that. There are 28% of all credential holders across the country in Assemblies of God are now women. But if you are not a credential holder, you don't get to feel less than.
That's right.
If you're a pastor's wife, you are not just a pastor's wife. If you work in children's ministry, you don't just do children's ministry. So don't let any of us that are credentialed or whatever to make you feel that you are less than. We don't do that as women. We get enough of that in the culture.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
All right, so I know you're looking at your notes saying, boy, she hasn't even gotten to her notes yet. Here we go. All right? So what does God require of us as women of God and followers of God? Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Not culture, right? Not feminism. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And of course, Jesus says similar things in a different way in Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if you act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God, you are doing that greatest commandment because you are putting first things first. Amen? So as women who are in Christ, what does being a woman of God in today's pressure cooker of a culture mean? Does anybody still use a pressure cooker, by the way? Instapot? Better, right? All right. As women of God, how do we not buy into what the world tells us we should be? And how do we not buy into what the world is pushing and selling what we should be and what we should look like? That's what we're going to look at for the next few minutes. So what does a healthy woman of God look like in 2024? First, she walks with God, not the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. The world doesn't get to tell us what we should be doing. Jesus gets to tell us what we need to be doing. So a healthy woman of God in 2024, she walks with God, not the world. Colossians 2:6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Be in the word, ladies, and walk with the one who is the word made flesh. We must walk with God more than we walk with Amazon. Who had an Amazon package delivered this week? Or to someone else? Now, if I asked you, how many of you prayed and read your Bibles every day? Don't raise your hands. We need to walk with Jesus more than we purchase from Amazon. We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, the world behind me, the cross before me. We get to walk with the Master.
Amen.
What a privilege. And he never leaves. He never forsakes. He never says you are not enough. He never says you're cooking that for dinner. He never says, I'll sleep in the other room. When we walk with Jesus, he sticks closer than a brother.
Amen.
Or a sister. Amen? All right, secondly, what does a healthy woman of God look like in 2024? She is filled, as we heard today. What an emphasis today. She is filled with the Spirit, not self or what others expect. We don't get to meet other people's expectations.
Yes.
We don't get to lay awake at night wondering, did I do a good enough job? Mm. Or whatever. But we get to be filled with the Spirit of God, not with the expectations of others, which certainly doesn't mean we dismiss the expectations. Pastor Greg expected certain things to happen today. So I don't say, sorry, I'm only filled with the Spirit and I'm not fulfilling any expectations that you have. I'd be going to Van Ness, I think, then. I'd be changing churches pretty quick. So we don't dismiss that completely. But we are filled with the Spirit, emptying yourself of yourself and your desires, your wants, your whatever. Yes. Philippians 2, 3 and 4, do nothing. Why doesn't it just say do some things? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. That's a great verse until you have to put it into practice.
Right.
That would make a great plaque. That would look good on your obituary. This is what she did. But we have to put it into practice. That's the sticky point. Until you have to leave your job to have children. And let me say there too, ladies, God does not ask every woman of God to quit their job when they have children. Nor does God require every woman of God to stay home and homeschool when they have children. It's what God has required of you, not what everybody else is doing or what everybody else's expectations are. And Christian women, we can be the worst with that. I always say, if there's a ladies' event, there's nothing like Christian women, right? Because we want to sit where we want to sit. And we look at and say, they asked her to sing and she's wearing that, right? We have to be careful that we're not putting expectations on other people. And we can be the worst with that. Watch it. Galatians 5, 25 and 26. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. You will be more effective and accomplish more for Christ in wherever he has you in 1 year of flowing in the Spirit than a lifetime of trying to do it all yourself. You will be more effective flowing in the Spirit than a lifetime of trying to do it by yourself. John 3:30, he must increase and I must decrease. That sounds good too. Till I don't get my own way.
That's right.
And I have to submit. And I have to say, okay, God, it's not what I want to do. It's not where I want to go, but I'll follow.
Yes.
We hear in the news all the time how famous people had everything, reached the pinnacle of success, had more money than they knew what to do with, and were heartbreakingly unhappy and made heartbreaking decisions to end their lives because of expectations of others. I'm famous. I got to sell more tickets at the next concert or whatever it is. We have to be filled with the Spirit, not filled with the expectation of others, not filled with culture tells us how we should look, what we should do, who we should be. Be filled with the Spirit, not self or what others expect. Thirdly, she listens to God and not the world.
Right.
Revelation 2, oh, I should be moving slides. No one said anything. I would have raised my hand and said, wait. All right, there's, oh, that was a good slide. Oh, great slide. Oh, it took a lot to get all those words on that slide. Great.
Here we are.
That'll be a good promo picture. We can't, I say it all the time, we can't cry all the time.
No.
Yeah. We have to be able to laugh. All right, three. She listens to God, not the world. Revelation 2:7. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I want to look just for a minute with Rahab. Now, Rahab did not start off as a godly woman. She was morally bankrupt in a morally bankrupt pagan culture. Yet she acted like a woman of God and became a woman of God. She took God at his word when God said the Israelites were to inhabit the land. When all the residents of Jericho were prepared to do battle with the Israelites, Rahab protected them.
Rahab believed God and did something about it. She listened to the voice of God. If a morally bankrupt woman in a morally bankrupt pagan society is used by God and listens to God and believes God, how much more do we need to do that in this culture? We're in a morally bankrupt pagan culture with a feminist lie that says you have to do everything. You have to be everything. You have to look a certain way. If Rahab can do it, we need to step up and we need to listen to God, not the world. Who has your ear? What and who are you listening to? James 2, 25 and 26. Was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. We have to listen to God in 2024, not the world. Amen. Next, her goal is pleasing God, not the world. Why do you do what you do? A woman of God in 2024, her goal must be pleasing God, not the world. Motives matter.
Yes.
Why you do something. If you do something out of compulsion, you're robbing yourself of the blessing. I have to. And that's where you have to be careful. Are you burning out?
Mm-hmm.
It used to be I get to. And now it's I have to. And I don't want to. And I got to put on a face and do it. Watch out. Her goal is pleasing God, not the world. Motives matter. Ephesians 6, 7 and 8. Serve wholeheartedly. Now, we get stuck on that, meaning we should kill ourselves for the church. Let's leave that aside. Serve wholeheartedly. As if you were serving the Lord.
Right.
Not people. And I, for a very long time, was a people pleaser. And some people would come up to me and say, I want you to practice. No. And I would go, yes. Because you know that the Lord will reward each of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. I have a PSA announcement for you. Don't serve yourself into the ground. Jesus died for the cross. You don't get to.
Wow.
I mean, Jesus died for the church. You don't get to. Mark 14, the woman with the alabaster jar. She came to Jesus with an alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. She broke open the box and poured the expensive contents on Jesus. The disciples were indignant about it. Look what she's doing. She's doing the wrong thing. That should be culture telling us we're doing the wrong thing when we're doing the right thing. Not fellow Christians saying that's not what you should be doing. The disciples were indignant, but Jesus, he was deeply touched, it says, and said, she has done a beautiful thing. She did what she could. I love that. And to be honest, I just used that Tuesday at a funeral. She did what she could. Not what everybody required, not what culture required. She did what she could. Ephesians 2:19, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right, we're going to keep going. She wants, number five, she wants God more than anything this world has to offer. Psalm 73:25, whom am I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. You see, Mary Magdalene got healed of those demons and then followed Jesus.
Yeah.
No turning back. Six, she goes at God's pace. Women of God in 2024, we get to go at God's pace, not what other people tell us we should, how fast we should be doing something or what we should be doing. She goes at God's pace. She doesn't run ahead and force things to happen. You cannot leapfrog. I could not go from a stay-at-home mom to executive pastor of the Mission Church. I had to go through stuff. And then I got there. I never expected to be here. But faithful through the process, you just never know what God is going to do. But you can't leapfrog and say, you can't short circuit the process that God is doing, the refining process that he is doing through you. You submit to it and you learn from it. Don't waste the offense that you feel. Don't have an offense, but then don't waste it. Okay, God, what are you teaching me through this about myself that I have to root out? All right? 7, she does hard things. Look at Abigail, and we're not going to read all of that, 1 Samuel 25, 2 through 42. But David and his men have been keeping the marauders away from Nabal's property and livestock. David sends two guys, hey, could you give us some provisions? And Nabal has some choice words for them and says, drop dead, oh, we're not doing that. And so they go back and they tell David he's not going to give us anything, even though we've been knocking ourselves out for him. That should feel familiar to some of you for something, right?
Oh, Jesus.
And so David says, all right, we're going to go get him. And no man is going to be left alive in Nabal's army tomorrow morning. Well, Abigail, Nabal's husband, hears about it. She gets donkey loads of stuff. And she goes to David. She apologizes. She schmoozes with him with all of the stuff. And David relents and doesn't do it. And then Nabal drops dead after he hears about it. And Abigail marries David. So now I'm not purporting that you do something and then marry that person. But if God does it, ladies, who are we to argue? But she had to do a hard thing. She went against her husband. In that instance, who was not godly, who was doing the wrong thing, and I'm not telling you to go against your husband either. I'm telling you one example of someone that did hard things. God calls you to do hard things that are above your ability. Trust me. I am way over my head in what I do. And I also serve as the female at large executive presbyter for the New York Ministry Network. Now, I'm glad it's not female at plus size, but at large means that it's for the whole state. I'm not a resident in a certain area and be the female. But I am in way over my head when I sit at that table. But God has asked me to do a hard thing. And sometimes the hard thing is to keep my mouth quiet at the table. But do hard things. Don't say that's too hard.
Yeah.
That's where the Spirit of God comes in. Amen?
Amen.
All right, number 8. She does hard things, but she also has margins and boundaries in her life.
Amen.
I've learned over the years that having margins and boundaries are vitally important to my emotional health, my spiritual health,
yes,
my physical health, my health for families, my family relationships. Margins and boundaries matter. There will always be another call to make. There'll always be another text to answer. There'll always be another lesson to prepare. There'll always be another meal to cook for someone. But you have to have margins and boundaries in your life. And what puts fuel in your tank,
yes,
to keep you going? And so we say, oh, my quiet time with Jesus. Well, that's true. And I don't mean to diminish that. We need that. But there are other things. Tonight, I'm eating seafood because that puts fuel in my tank. Or I go to the water. There's a pond right up down the road here that I can just sit for 10 minutes, and that puts fuel in my tank. Or go to the Hudson River not too far from here and just look at the water. You have to have margins and boundaries and figure out what puts fuel in your tank that's not sinful.
Right.
Do I have to add that caveat? I don't know.
There it is.
All right. And you have to say yes to things God is leading you to, and you have to be able to say no to things. And I just had to say no to an opportunity Van Ness gave me. I had to say no to applying for a board position that I thought I would love to be on that ministry's board one day. And then I got the call, would you like to be on the board? And I thought, yes, I do. But after praying about it, not the right season. I had to say no. You have to have margins and boundaries. Just because you want to do something. I want to do children's ministry, but that season for me has ended.
Seasons change, and we have to be okay with that. All right, last thing. She uses her tent peg wisely. I said to my husband, I'm doing a workshop, what's the title? I said, Healthy Women and the Feminist Lie. And I said, what should I say? Right away, he said, be like JL, use your tent peg wisely.
Wow.
Right away, he said that. I love that word picture. You have something in your hand, you have to use it wisely. Now, don't get a hammer and kill somebody's temple tonight when they're laying in bed, like JL did. But what God puts in your hand to do, use it wisely. Use what God has put in your hand for his purposes, not for personal gain or personal glory. Now, just because you are sold out for Christ and have said no to the things, expectations, the exploits of this world, doesn't mean everything's going to be walk in the park. Just ask Paul. Just ask John the Baptist before his head got cut off. But living a life for God, bucking the demands and the expectations of this world and this culture, will bring you joy, peace, contentment, fulfillment, and godly purpose for your life. What the world offers you is a cheap imitation that does not last and does not produce real results. It's imitation vanilla versus Madagascar real vanilla. It's skim milk versus heavy cream. It's a imitation, what the world has. It feels good. Everybody's doing it, doesn't last, doesn't produce results. So, ladies, walk with God. Be filled with the Spirit. Listen to God. Please God. Want God more than anything. Grow at God's peace. Do hard things and use your tent peg wisely. Ladies, you don't have to do it all. And you don't have to have it all, but you do need to have all of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray for you.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you that we live in this day and age on purpose. May we shine our light. May we buck the trend. May we stand for Jesus. May we be firm in our faith. May we operate under the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit, not our own desires, not everyone's expectations. Lord, I pray a blessing in all of these women today as they wake up in the morning and they put, and you put before them the tasks of the day, whether it's at church or at home. Father, may they sense that you are with them and they are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and God bless our three men that were in here today.